BP is still going after that oil spill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A look right now at the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. And we begin in Britain, where the troubled oil giant BP keeps trying and trying to plug that gushing oil in the Gulf of Mexico. The company's latest attempt, a diamond saw, failed yesterday. Now BP's considering the Top Hat device, a plan it abandoned last month. And we're hearing Hollywood could be riding to the rescue. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from our London bureau. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Hollywood, really?
Well, the whole thing resembles a disaster movie, doesn't it? So it's only fitting, perhaps, that movie director James Cameron should get involved. The man who made the blockbuster The Titanic and the underwater thriller The Abyss is reported to have offered BP the use of a fleet of small, remotely controlled submarines and has taken part in brainstorming sessions to try to come up with an unconventional solution to the crisis.
And they've tried everything else, Stephen. Unconventional solutions? I mean, give me some of them.
Well, they've had 38,000 from all over the world, and they've included unleashing oil-eating bacteria in the vicinity of the broken pipe. One suggested soaking up the oil with vast quantities of human hair. Here's Peter Kemp of Energy Intelligence.
I'm sure BP are looking at every single idea, trying to sift through and evaluate the best strategy to adopt next, given the terrible failure rate we've had here.
Perhaps the most alarming proposal so far, though, is to set off a nuclear explosion over the wellhead. This method has apparently worked in Russia. BP, however, says it has no plans to detonate a nuclear device in the Gulf of Mexico.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
The British financial watchdog today fined J.P. Morgan Securities about $49 million for mishandling clients' funds. It's the largest penalty ever handed down by the Financial Services Authority. World stock markets are on the rise for a change. Shares in Europe are higher at the moment, 1-2%. Most Asian markets tacked on some value today. The Nikkei in Japan rose more than 3%. Some nice gains on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow added 225 points to close the day at 10,249. Hundreds of thousands of tourists are expected for South Africa's World Cup tournament. The country spent more than $2 billion on infrastructure. But critics say a lot of the money is bypassing or even pushing aside the poor. Marketplace's Gretchen Wilson reports.
Maureen Manisi walks through the mud of her neighborhood to show me how locals get electricity. She points to a slack wire dangling over a tree and leading into a shack.
It's an illegal connection, and it's not safe.
Manisi's lived here since 1988, when apartheid was in full swing. The long-awaited shift to democracy has brought her few concrete benefits.
We've been left out. We don't have water, we don't have toilets, you know, and all this thing.
Manisi lives just a few miles from Soccer City, a brand new stadium built for the World Cup. Last year, the city of Johannesburg wanted the 6,000 households here to move to another slum with better services, but a lot further from the city.
We were facing forced relocation up until we take our matter to court.
Locals won the case, but Manisi and human rights activists say cities here are pushing out the poor, including settlement dwellers and street vendors, before the tourists arrive. They say city cleanup campaigns put public image before the rights of citizens. City officials say they're just following tight regulations always required by FIFA, the powerful international group that runs the World Cup. Those regulations affect informal traders, like people who run food stalls or sell goods on the street. They won't be allowed to trade in many areas for May, June, and July. That's because FIFA requires that cities limit such businesses to protect their sponsors, who spend millions to get those rights. At this meeting in Johannesburg, street vendors are meeting to challenge city bylaws that limit public space during the World Cup. Nkosi Nati Jukeka is with StreetNet International, a global network of informal traders.
Everybody is told that this is our World Cup and all of us are going to benefit. But an ordinary person on the street, the layman, the poor South African, I mean, he's not going to benefit.
He says that unless they get access to the huge market of World Cup tourists, only big business will come away the winners. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Reputation Defender, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. ReputationDefender.com/market.
Next week, software programmers will be in San Francisco for Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference. This year, the talk is all about applications. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reports.
Writing an app can be a lot like using one. It's fun, addictive, and in the end, you're not sure it was the best use of your time. Developer Jen Bevan has 11 apps in Apple's iTunes store.
We love them and we hate them because they give us this beautiful platform to write for, but it's very hard to find an app in the App Store.
There are nearly 200,000 apps now, but Bevan says Apple's search and navigation is primitive. Some say Apple's approval process is still in the Stone Age, too. Developers like Aurora Matskin say it can be maddeningly opaque.
An app can get rejected for all sorts of wacky reasons. And, I mean, you can get an app through and then you do a revision and something that was in the app you got through gets rejected.
App developers number 40,000 and counting. Many of them like to complain about Apple. But Macworld editor Jason Snell says most are grateful to Apple for creating a huge new market for them.
This whole app buying culture, these are people who never download software on their computers. And yet the App Store has made it a mainstream practice.
Even with Google's Android gaining fast, Snell says no other platform is so worth the pain. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
And finally, a new amusement park in Dubai is coming online. When completed, the world's biggest indoor theme park will feature a racing school and rides, including a roller coaster that goes 150 miles an hour. Ferrari World will operate under a gargantuan red roof that resembles the Italian sports car's hood ornament, in case you're in the middle of the desert and can't find Ferrari World. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.